Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Yep, we hear you. Let's get you some beautiful windows that won't warp at warp speed. Durable, weather-friendly Vibrix windows and a seamless professional process. A free, no-pressure renewal by Andersen consultation is just a call or click away. When it's time to talk windows, we'll bring the wisdom. Renewal by Andersen.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, faucets, vanities, doors, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online now through July 18th. Not a member? Join MyLowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
In any profession, talent alone isn't enough. We've all seen it. Someone who's good at their job, even excellent, but whose character is a slow-burning liability. And when that happens in corporate settings, you might lose a few clients. When it happens in law enforcement, the fallout is far more dangerous. It erodes public trust. It puts communities at risk. And as we saw in the case of Sandra Birchmore, it can become deadly. Sandra was a vulnerable young woman who joined the Stoughton Police Explorer program looking for structure, safety, and purpose. Instead, what she found, according to federal prosecutors, was a culture that led predators right to the kids, and it let them quietly thrive. The man now charged with her murder, Matthew Farwell, wasn't just some rogue officer. He was placed in a position of trust, mentoring kids while allegedly grooming Sandra from the first time when she was 15. And the question we have to ask is, how does someone like that get handed that kind of responsibility in the first place? It's the same question many in leadership struggle with. What do you do when the bad apple is also your most experienced officer? Your top performer, or your go-to guy. And I'm not saying Matthew was any of those things. But if he's filling a role, then otherwise we have nobody else to fill and we need that person. You know, the person may have a lot of flaws over here. Sometimes people look the other way that should not. Keep him there. Hope it goes away. If you're short-staffed, and he checks the boxes, do you do the hard thing and cut him loose? Because the damage becomes irreversible. If you keep him, what do you do? Monday morning quarterbacking it is quite easy. From an ethical standpoint, you got the bad guy, you sense something's wrong, something's up. Bye-bye. Now, I don't know how many signs Matthew Farwell exhibited that one would be able to act on that. But more importantly, these sort of things happen every day in our lives, not just in police departments, in our workplaces, in our schools, in any place where people are gathering and working together. When you get that bad one in there and you let it go and you maybe hear inklings that there's something going on and you let it thrive, well, look at this. The other bad apples have come to town too. Maybe ones that otherwise wouldn't have been spoiled at that moment, but just got enough of the toxins in them that allowed it to morph into the mushrooms it did. The spores move around when you let them. You got to get rid of them. Otherwise, it infects everything. And that's why you have Farwell and three other officers who've gone off into the ether that are also accused of having relations with Sandra Birchmore. To explore all of this, I sat down with Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent and leadership trainer who draws from decades of real-world experience from both law enforcement and counterintelligence. He was the chief of the FBI's Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. What you're about to hear isn't just about the Sandra Birchmore case. It's a crash course in ethical leadership, toxic culture, and why the ability to flip the switch at work doesn't excuse who you are when the uniform comes off. Let me ask you this about it. And it's something I hear a lot of people like in the corporate world talking about, and it seems to be very similar to what you're talking about. Bosses, managers, owners, whatever, they will be the first, the good successful ones that I look to and I follow. They'll be the first to get rid of a horrible person, even if they are a great employee, even if they bring a lot to the company, they're super skilled at whatever the hell they're doing, whatever the goal of that company is, they're very good at that. But in their personal life, they're cheating on their wife, they're a shitty person this way. There's all these different things that are not connected to the work world, but you learn about as you get to know them more, and you're like, holy shit. That's something that, and it's got to be difficult to get rid of those people, especially when you're in a situation where you don't have a lot of replacements coming in. And law enforcement certainly is one of those places where, you know, you gotta, it's not like there's just this waiting line to get in. It takes a lot of work to get somebody in and to get good quality people in. So sometimes you're probably stuck between a rock and a hard place if you're a manager of this and you're overseeing all of your staff and your officers and going, well, I need somebody over here. I mean, that's a huge thing. What do you say to someone or a department that's in that sort of situation where it's hard to get people in? Here's what we got. Get rid of them regardless. I mean, how do you handle something like that? Because it sounds like this place kind of got overrun with a handful of them.
Yeah. I totally agree, and it's the most greatest challenge that most organizations have, especially in law enforcement these days, because you don't have the personnel to maintain. I I was friends. I used to do a lot of training for the leadership academies across Virginia and across the country for law enforcement. And I would talk to chiefs, and some of these chiefs were chiefs of departments of like eight sworn, mm-hmm. only eight officers for a small little town. And yet they were mandated by their town council. They had to maintain 24/7 coverage availability for the town. And this one chief told me he had a horrible officer that was had all these complaints against him for abuse and for pulling people over and just being verbally offensive, and yet he's mandated by the town council that he has to maintain this thing, and he couldn't get a replacement. So I understand this rock in a hard place. At a certain point, you just have to be able to either put that accountability in there, put that training in there, or get rid of the program. Like in this case, so you know, we'll put our hindsight's 2020 on. You know, here I am, the chief of this department, and I know I placed this officer or an officer like this in this position of the explorers because the town council or someone says I have to have the explorer program. It's part of our funding if we don't have this program. And I need all these other officers that are doing a good job, and we're understaffed out on the street doing X, Y, and Z because that's where our stats are also measured at, and I got to manage his personnel. I either got to be able to put in accountability, lever over him that's running this Explorer program, or I got to cut the program and just face the heat on it. And here's the key challenge that I faced in law enforcement, and I had to teach people how to overcome. When you're dealing with human behavior, people have a hard time quantifying objectively that measure. And that makes it hard to justify not doing something because they say, well, just be better. Just do it better. Just lead better. That's not an answer. Yeah. You need to be able to quantify. And so when I was working with a competent human source that didn't quite reach the level of where my bosses thought they should be, or the number of meetings it's taken to get them there, I had to be able to say, listen, here's the exact specific taskings we covered at this meeting. Here's where they fell short on those taskings. Here's what we're going to cover next time. Here's the measure we're putting in place to measure that progress. If they fall short of this, then this. In other words, you have to be able to take a subjective art form of human behavior and make it objectable by asking what questions, quote unquote, what, so it makes people be very specific, makes it measurable, makes it actionable, and makes it progressive. And if you can't do that, then here we're going to have a different conversation. If you can't articulate that to a town council, if you can't articulate that to investigators, if you can't articulate that to the public in general, then you're doing it wrong. You just got to be able to do that. And so that's what people are looking for when you're doing anything in briefings. They're looking for measurable actions that people can measure.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you have someone on board like that in a law enforcement capacity, you're facing the risk of, you know, what are they going to do to the citizens out there? What could possibly happen that could go horribly wrong there beyond just the complaints of he's rude, he's an ass, all that stuff? You're also, I would imagine, risking having that person in that circle, especially if it's a smaller department, of you got a bad apple in there. And sometimes those bad apples bring out the worst in other people, things that you may not see if that bad apple wasn't in there. It's like a cancer, how it will spread out and then sometimes slowly infect others and get them to participate in the same bad acts that maybe they wouldn't have on their own. Do you think that that could be what has happened here? Or maybe we just have a whole bunch of bad apples that all just happen to end up in the same barrel?
There's bad apples everywhere in life. Doesn't matter what the profession is, doesn't matter anything. I have never been part of any situation or studied anything that situations like this were not prevented with solid leadership. Mm-hmm. Solid leadership meaning that it takes time and energy and resources to be a good leader. And when you start seeing this, again, we'll go back to one of the other key themes that you and I keep hitting on in all these different cases, it's secret place. If I can't account for your time, then you're not being transparent with your time. I need to know what you're doing, when you're doing it, and how you're doing it. I'm not micromanaging you. I'm supervising you. I'm looking for accountability of what you're doing. And if I can't figure that out, it's on me. These are, in every single case where we're seeing things like this go sideways, lazy leadership that lacks the courage to have a tough conversation with someone who needs to have a tough conversation. That's exactly it. I have never seen a situation with a solid leader that this thing didn't get resolved. I mean, you just gave a great example in the corporate world, Tony, and that is a good, strong leader will make the tough decision for someone that knows how to flip that switch really well. But this person can flip that switch better than anyone else. Their productivity in their specific little thing like this is solid, but their life around there is an unhealthy disaster. I guarantee you over time, that's going to have leakage into their ability to flip that switch and the toxicity of everyone around them. Cut it out now and teach someone else to flip that switch. Because it's easier to teach someone to flip a switch than to be a human being that is healthy.
Let me ask you this, though. I mean, can a good leader always get through to people like, allegedly, like Matthew Farwell? Obviously, if he's already committed the crime, he's got to go if you find that out. But if he hasn't, if it's just, you know, I think you're being a little too flirty with that young lady over there. I mean, can a good leader fix someone like that? Or does the good leader just have to get rid of somebody like that? But then you run into the problem where you have so many protections for some people. But police are incredibly protected. It takes a lot to get somebody fired. It takes a lot. And it doesn't just take that leader going, you got to go. It's going to go through a lot more than just that. So in some ways, you have hands tied here. You have a lot of push just to keep people on and get them in the right direction. Is that an area where we need to look a little closer at? We seem to have a lot of systems in place to protect people or people that, and for good people really is why it's designed, but bad people end up falling into it. They end up being able to check the boxes and falling into the category of good luck getting rid of me. Do we need less protections so bad people can be removed by good people when they are found out? Because it seems the ball is in their court and the rights are on the bad people's side versus the good people when they finally get found out.
Yeah, that's a challenge and a problem. But I'm going to share something I learned when I was 24 years old. I mean, a young guy, young officer in the Marine Corps, that was the most effective tool that's been with me my entire life. And first of all, it goes to the adage, if you didn't write it, it didn't happen. Document, 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 document. It seems like it's a bean pusher kind of thing, but I'm telling you that that will counter anything that there's a protection for the bad officer. Mm-hmm. Documentation, number one. And here's how you document. And this requires energy. It requires bravery. And when I was 24 years old, doing this to my staff NCOs that were twice my age with four times as much experience, it took some courage. But I would observe a behavior. So let's superimpose it on this case. Mm-hmm. So in the Marine Corps, if I saw one of my people doing something that was off, I'd have to counsel them. I had mandatory weekly counseling of all my Marines. And in these counselings, I would either say, hey, we're good to go, two thumbs up. Or if I saw something that was off, I was mandated. I had to write a paragraph, write it out. Here's what I observed your actual specific behavior was. Not hearsay. Here's what I myself observed. Now, if I heard rumor of something from someone, some third party thing, I can't go on hearsay. So what's it make me do as a leader? I got to be present. Mm-hmm. I got to be here. I got to be witness. And if I'm here witnessing, it'll deter your bad behavior. Now, granted, this takes time and energy. You know, fixing problem people, and some are not fixable, Tony. That's why we have to get rid of them. We can only get rid of them with documentation. Requires me to be present. The hours I put in as a leader, I was insurmountable. But if you don't want to lead, don't do it. Mm-hmm. Don't put in for it, because this takes time and energy. Because when you go into leadership, it's not about you. It's about your people. It's you being there for their success. Anyway, I had a document. I had to observe it specifically. And so I'd write down what I specifically saw myself in a paragraph. I then would sit down with my Marine, with my law enforcement officer. So in this case, if I saw this individual having so here's what I pick up right away. I'm sitting in the back of a classroom, or I'm sitting at an event where there's an Explorer event. And I saw Officer Farwell having a conversation after the class, or even making a focused attention on a specific individual or student in the class. I would go up to that individual at the end. I say, hey, tell me about so-and-so. And I would let them know, hey, I'm seeing a behavior here that's a little off. And I'd be there again next time. And if I saw a conversation off to the side, if I saw a special tension, I would then write this down. Listen, we are not supposed to have individual relationships with these students. Everyone's supposed to be treated equal. I personally am seeing something a little off here. If I'm seeing something off, other people are seeing this off. That comes down under the category of professionalism. Mm-hmm. Professional people do not have specific personal relationships with students at large. So here's what I'm seeing. Here's what I need to observe you doing. I don't want to see this kind of thing again. I sign this. You sign this. If I see this again, we're going to have a different conversation about your career.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't see it again in another month, then I'm going to give you this piece of paper back and no harm, no foul. Mm-hmm. That's how we correct behavior. I see it. I address it. And it's not what I'm saying. I am observing this. This is your action. This is completely on you about how to rectify this. And if you don't want to rectify this behavior, that's fine. I'm going to help you find something else because it ain't going to be this. And so that's what is lacking here. Whether it's that specific way of doing it, but that's why I had to do it. That's what I learned to do it. And these aren't challenging conversations. This is a conversation about you and what you're doing. I am here for your success. You are not going to be successful in this position because you're observing a bias towards an individual for whatever reason it is. And it could be a male student. It could be someone that they have a personal attention to or emotionally attached to someone, a family member. I don't care what it is. But there's a perception from everyone involved in this situation of special treatment. That erodes morale, that erodes ethics, morals, the whole thing goes out the window. You cannot do that, but you need to be present. Someone needs to be present to do that for the accountability.
It was Robin Dreeke reminding us that leadership isn't just about delegation. It's about presence, accountability, and courage to confront what's uncomfortable. And by the way, Robin has a lot of books out on these topics, and they're really good. Just look up Robin Dreeke, RobinDreeke, on Amazon or wherever you get books, because I got a whole stack of them right over there. And they're worth it. Definitely worth it. The insights, the leadership, the experiences that man has had are quite amazing. It's easy to celebrate the high performers in a workplace, the ones who write the most tickets, clear the most cases, or show up on time. But what Robin laid bare here is that performance means nothing if it's masking deeper moral rot. Sandra Birchmore's death didn't happen in a vacuum. It happened in a culture where no one was watching, no one was documenting, and no one was willing to say this behavior isn't right. Not because they didn't see it, but because calling it out means change, disruption, maybe even losing a warm body they needed on their schedule. Robin's example of documenting behavior, of actually being present enough to observe conduct, write it down, give someone the chance to course correct, is a blueprint for what's missing in too many departments. It's not glamorous. It is not easy. It requires a leader who's willing to be unpopular for the right reasons. But here's a hard truth. When you tolerate one toxic officer, you're not just accepting their behavior, you're giving silent permission for others to follow. And how bad apples become barrels? That's how explorer programs get infiltrated by predators. That's how a teenage girl who wanted to be a part of something meaningful ends up exploited, discarded, and dead. Leadership isn't about protecting your own. It's about protecting the mission. And the mission in law enforcement is public trust. Without it, everything falls apart. Thanks again, Robin Dreeke, for pulling back the curtain with brutal honesty and lived experience. What do you guys think? Let me know in the comment section of this video. I would love to hear it. That, of course, would be on YouTube. So if you're listening to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, wherever it may be, thank you. Hit subscribe over there, but then check us out on YouTube as well, where you can watch us do the show, interact, comment. There's a lot of ways to do that there. And if you really want, and you want to comment on everything before anybody else gets a chance to, then you can become a premium subscriber on YouTube. And there you get access to all of our material before everybody else. You get it sometimes days, sometimes weeks before it goes to the public. And then you can put your two cents in on everything and, you know, stay at the top there before everybody else starts chiming in. So there's a little perk there for you and a thank you for supporting the program. And that's how you can do it right there on YouTube. Hit subscribe no matter where you are, though. Please do that, and then let us know your thoughts. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want true crime coverage all day, every day? Press subscribe now to the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today and get the latest cases delivered right to your feed.